Is this the show? 100 episodes. We have no idea how we're like starting or doing things. Are we on? Is this a thing?
Yes. So, hello.
Did you finish composing your tweet?
Breaking the fourth wall. Hello, people.
Hello, internet. Oh, wait, no, not that one.
The other internet?
No, I meant... Go on.
Okay. Well, I just broadcast that we're live. So, we are here. We are joined today...
We're here in the studio together live in person.
As always, we're having a fun little time because we're banking episodes in advance of Dan's big momentous occasion where things are going to happen.
Having a kidney removed.
Yes, a very big kidney, a sizable kidney. It's quite an event. requires a location be reserved, a DJ. It requires the presence of many people. It requires presence from many people. What would you say the meal plan is for your kidney removal?
You know, it's a set menu, of course. You know, there's a variety of options for both vegetarian and people who eat animals and things.
Now, do you think an open bar is wise for kidney removal?
You know... The more people that I talk to who are planning to attend the kidney removal, the less I think that the length of the open bar is a great idea, but so be it. We'll find out. Hopefully the doctor keeps his scalpel hand steady.
Yeah, how bad could it be? not to jinx it, but I'm quite looking forward to this momentous occasion for you. Where you'll be less of a human being, minus an organ. It'll be delightful for all parties involved.
I don't know how we got on this metaphor, but it's weird. I don't know what it means anymore.
Well, you're the one who said you were getting a kidney removed.
Oh yeah, okay. Well,
so I mean,
obfuscation.
I was just yes-anding your organ removal. But
well, you're the one with all those fancy improv classes in town. I don't have that over here.
I've not gone to any of them.
Well, then you should stop paying for them, probably.
Oh, you're right. But it's so hard to quit when you're signed up for something. You have to call, and you have to complain. You have to say, I don't want to be on this thing anymore, and they try to talk you out of it, and they want to get you on the home phone line plan. So I don't want that for my improv package, you know?
Mm-hmm. Imagine if you had to go all the way down there and, like, do it in person.
Yeah, and you got to return the box.
You got to return your improv set-top box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, how else are you gonna know how to improv? You gotta have the different the options that it presents you.
You know? This is not a very strong showing for an episode 100. It doesn't make us seem like we've done this 99 other times.
I don't think any of the other 99 times make it seem like we've done it either. But
not to get too nostalgic, but listening back, I think we've gotten more comfortable and grown over the years and done better than we. Hopefully we're better now than when we started. I don't know.
I mean, that would be a colossal disappointment if we weren't, but...
I feel like I should have listened to the first episode in preparation for this episode.
No, because our first episode is kind of a mess. I think it is looked upon favorably by people at the time. It might be reminisced fondly by several of our fans, but it's probably not... One of the better ones.
I remember seeing tweets from people that I know who were like, oh, that was a great first episode. Can't wait to listen to more. And I never saw another mention of it from those particular people. So I'm pretty sure that they fell off immediately as soon as we, you know, figured our theme out or our structure. Well, whatever little structure we could claim to have.
Yeah. Well, let's not forget, as we've mentioned several times in the past, our first episode technically wasn't the first time that we had recorded. With the intention of releasing something, it was merely the first time that we had recorded and released something. The other occasions where we had recorded things over several weeks were all colossal failures, due in no small part to the fact that we didn't have any kind of rapport at all. Mm-hmm. And now that we know each other better. It's sort of funny to think back to that time where it'd be like we could just call up each other and not know what to talk about. But because obviously we could have talked about kidney transplants or we could have talked about your improv box returns. But these these sorts of things didn't occur to us back then. And yeah. that led to some shaky failures that eventually led to this episode one, where it was put together from you heavily editing a phone call. And several of these first episodes were heavily edited, not in terms of necessarily content, but in terms of like
removing awkward pauses.
Yeah, compression.
I don't really do that anymore. I remove, I do a lot of the strip silent stuff or whatever the other person when one person's talking when I'm editing these days, but I don't really compress time like I used to.
No, I don't do that either. When I'm editing on occasion, I will strip out some silences, especially if it's something where there's like a Skype lag. I have to like realign a clip or something like that, where it's obvious that I didn't hear you or you didn't hear me. We're talking over each other in an uncoordinated, in unintentional fashion. I usually try to fix that stuff. But if it's just like a gap where I don't get a joke that's being relayed, or you don't get a joke that's being relayed, or neither of us is sure there's a joke, that sort of awkward pause can actually be comedic in and of itself. And so I'll leave that in.
Yeah, you like to hang me out to dry on those in the edit when you do those. You make that pause extra long, so it seems like I'm the weirdo with the stupid reference.
No. Sometimes. I mean, but if I stripped it out, then it would be like weird, like I was immediately saying that I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, I get the long pause where I say that I don't know what you're talking about at the end.
That might be the only time I time compress anymore, is I'll reduce like a third of the awkward pause when you're doing that, but no.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how you can tell that it's a Dan Sturm quality episode, is because all of the awkwardness has been removed.
No, not at all. I think the other difference between the first episode, literally named the first one, and the previous ones is I think that was the one where we were the least drunk of the first seven.
Well, I don't think we were drinking at all. Oh, okay. To clarify, we had this crazy idea that it would be sort of entertaining or funny or, you know, sort of a loose whatever atmosphere if, like, we were having a drink and talking. Unfortunately, that's unlistenable. So typically, we just have to be very careful with that sort of thing. And occasionally,
I mean, not to mention, if you look at the anniversary of that June 19th, 2014, you know, you think about, you've heard all the times we complain about how hot it is in here in the offices in the summertime. So it's hot and we're drinking usually whiskey and we don't know each other. It's a recipe for disaster.
I think I was mostly having water in that one, but because there was like a colossal failure where we were just like, oh, that was a bad idea. First episode, not so great. Now, we also didn't have a name for the podcast in the first episode because we also weren't sure what we were doing. And
one episode where we didn't like have a formal announcement of the name or an introduction to the podcast. And then I was just like, well, I guess we're locked into that for the next 99 episodes. We just got to like start it by just talking and never introduce ourselves or the podcast name.
But I like our cold opens.
Sometimes they work.
Like today. Today was a good one.
It was a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Kidneys. By the way, everyone is really excited to meet you at the kidney transplant. I told them all I would tell you because it would make you really uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
They're all very excited to meet you.
Define all, by the way.
I mean, like the four people who were at the house that I was just at like an hour ago.
Uh-huh. What is the relation to you?
My cousin, Gabriella, and my mom are excited to meet you.
Who's Gabriella?
My cousin.
Oh.
I have two cousins. There's the fake doctor who lives out where you live, and she's 21 and lives in Ohio.
Okay, see, I thought that it was my cousin, the one I met, comma, and then Gabriella, another person.
No.
I didn't realize it was the same cousin. I didn't realize it was a different cousin, but the same sentence structure.
See, this is already super awkward. I love it.
It's. I mean, this is really bringing back the spirit of episode one.
Wait, who are you again? Hello, I'm Joe. Nice to meet you. I have to go somewhere now.
So,
I think I hear my phone ringing.
I'm so looking forward to everything.
You're just going to awkwardly hide behind a tree for a little while?
Probably not. I mean, are there going to be? I don't actually know. I'm going to be surprised. I want to be surprised for your kidney transplant. So
yeah, there will be trees in the operating room.
Okay, careful, a leaf or a junior mint doesn't fall in.
Man, we should have some junior mints. That would be a good idea.
The party favors.
There are those, but junior mints are not the party favors.
Oh, because I could just be chucking them right into that gaping wound.
You know, mints in the wound are always a great idea.
Yep. And speaking of wounds, we move on to episode number 2, Tweets in the Node Graph.
Mm-hmm.
That was nonsense.
We talked about Magic Mike. Apparently.
Yeah, we sort of talked vaguely about Magic Mike. When I liked it, and you liked it, and it was Tampa chading Tatum riffic, Steven Soderbergh esque with the stuff because he did it.
And I talked about how I was excited because I finally bought Vesper, the iOS app, and I didn't love it yet because I was waiting for them to add either Dropbox Sync or like the Mac app version so they would sync together, and I still don't think they've done that.
Yeah, and then we talked about your Node Graph hackery inside of Nuke. And
a revolutionary tagging system.
Yes, and how how's that working out for you, by the way?
I used it not too long ago. It's fine. Sometimes I forget that it's there.
Used it like five times in 2 years?
No.
And we joked about the fact that you would use tweets in the Node Graph, and then hence our first title. That was not the first one. So that came in episode number 2. Isn't that exciting? I think that's an exciting fact. One that you would not know just by simply looking at the page on a website or in a podcast URL feed thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's the kind of fact you get right here in live.
On our in-depth behind the scenes inside the podcast actor studio.
Mm, yes. What's your favorite word? So... Number 3, we had decided that we were going to do a thing where we would try to talk about 2 movies. Like, I would bring a movie, you would bring a movie, and we'd go at it, and we'd talk about it. Unfortunately, we matched up Dune and Can't Hardly Wait, and we got Toto's Hey Now, You're an All-Star, which I find charming. Unfortunately, Dan was so busy that he couldn't watch all of Dune. Sad that... He owns it to this day and hasn't watched the rest.
Yeah, I was gonna say no. I've totally since
you've
watched
never seen
the end. What did Toto have to do with Dune again? Is there a Toto song in Dune?
Toto did set the score for Dune.
No.
Yes, that was the thing.
Terrible idea. I should listen to that episode to hear me say it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, and do you know the clue for the rest of where that title came from?
Of course.
Yeah.
Smash Mouth. This is my jam.
Yeah.
You ever listen back to any of these old episodes? And like, in my case, like you'll say something and in my head, I'll be thinking of my response to you like right now. And then I'll hear myself literally say those exact same words right after. And I'm like, oh, I guess I haven't grown that much as a human being. That's interesting.
Yeah, I have the same thing. I choose to believe that it's some sort of subconscious recall where I'm remembering subconsciously the thing that I had said before, and it's not simply that I'm exactly the same as I was 2 years ago, but that very well may be the case. Yeah, it's comforting. We got Human Progress Bar as episode number 4 with your horrible back pain and controversy with ketchup and mustard on hot dogs, where you know that starts the condiment ball on a roll. Although a hot dog should be on a bun.
Yeah, I was saying what kind of condiments are you putting on a roll? Butter, really? I guess, right?
Mayo.
Yeah, I guess if it's like a turkey sandwich on a roll.
Yeah, are you like a ham sandwich? You know, a little Easter brunch kind of a deal.
See, you don't want to fill up on bread on Easter brunch. There's usually so many good things.
Okay. Well, we used to make little ham sandwiches.
Oh well, yeah, leftovers, sure.
Okay. But rolls, we would put the little slices of the ham in the rolls.
Yeah.
But
still doing the double feature, episode 4, World War Z, Shaun of the Dead. And then is Shane Burrito the official departure of the double feature? Or is there no movie on Shane Burrito? Oh no, it's just Super Troopers.
Yeah, that was Super Troopers. That was fun. There were things that happened. We talked about Beer Fest briefly, where I said I didn't really care for the movie. And you mentioned Club Dread, which I haven't seen. And we talked about the Bechdel test, which is always fun.
Apparently I signed up for my gym in the summer of 2014.
Uh-huh. Well, that's where Shame Burrito came from.
Yeah. Remember when that was our shtick? Shame Burritos and Burritos for a while?
Yeah, isn't it still the header on the Defocus Twitter account?
I'm probably, because it was pretty great fan art. But, you know, we've slightly evolved into breakfast stuff.
I'm not really sure that's an evolution. But we should really bring that back around to breakfast burritos. The Shame breakfast burrito.
Doesn't Taco Bell have something where they have a breakfast-style taco or burrito that is made out of a waffle?
Yes, it is a taco.
They have a taco that is
a waffle yeah.
with breakfast stuff. I feel like that is kind of the culmination of our brand, and I'm kind of shocked that hasn't come up before.
Well, that's because I'm never going to eat it.
Well, I will. I've never had Taco Bell breakfast, though, but it does look good sometimes.
Confession.
In posters, yeah.
A confession. I've had the, when they added breakfast, I tried the sausage breakfast burrito that they make. Which is very salty and very gooey. And then you find out how many calories are in it, and you're like, oh, that's probably not really like a breakfast. That's more of a breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It probably should be spread out a little and portion controlled. It's not for me. And I didn't feel super well afterwards. But
it's very easy to move into four digit calorie counts when you eat a Taco Bell.
Yes. Suspiciously so. And Shame Burrito is also the first time we mentioned that Mike and Matt had mentioned that they had heard about us. And it was right. like the sheer panic that they had listened to the episodes.
Remember when it was really freaky when people would listen to our show?
Mm-hmm.
It's not freaky at all anymore, is it?
No, it totally freaks me out still.
You got a tweet earlier today from somebody who was listening to our show.
Yeah, yeah.
I can just feel you panicking through Twitter.
Yeah, it was horrifying. Because I don't do well when it's like somebody I like and respect who's like, hey, I'm listening to the thing you did, and it's just like, oh, die. Crawls on the floor, curls up to the fetal position, dead. Yeah,
you'll be just fine at the kidney transplant then. Transplant removal. What did I say?
Removal. I believe I mistakenly said transplant once.
I mean, it'd be a shame to waste the kidney.
Oh well, of course,
it's a perfectly good kidney. I mean, mostly, right?
Yeah, and you got two. So,
mm-hmm.
two is one. So, you'll be having zero now. Mm-hmm. Afterwards,
it's from that other show.
Mm-hmm. And so episode 6, Pivot.
Pivot.
It was where you convinced me to watch all of Silicon Valley.
Was only 4 hours long.
Well, it's still long.
Time to watch stuff and we weren't stressed out and employed? Neither of us had jobs back then, right?
I was stressed out and unemployed, right. Which is why I watched a full season of Mike Judge's Silicon Valley in basically two days, based on your recommendation that I do so.
Oh, the new season's so great, by the way.
I didn't even see... I saw like two episodes of season two, so I'm not sure if I'll ever catch up.
Mm.
Now,
can you tell by podcast duration, looking through our archive, when we both got jobs? is there a sharp drop off? Because they started shorter, like 1 hour, and then they eventually climbed to two, and then two and a half, and whatever the hell we were doing, 2:45 or something. But I got to feel like there's a sharp drop off at some point when we're just like, what's on Netflix in short?
I don't know, actually. To be perfectly honest, I think
we need that guy with the data analytics of the durations to run some queries on our database.
Well, I mean, you'd have to find the running times of everything we talked about too. But I think it was probably our episode 16, or it might have been episode 17, somewhere around there, beginning of that October, because that's when I got my job. So we could look around then, but it seems like it doesn't really seem to indicate anything based on running time. Yeah.
That was a good theory I had there.
Yeah, it was really, it was good. I was real good, Dan.
Now, thus begins your show art, your magnificent show art.
Which I don't hardly have ever have time to do anymore. But the we
I was
had,
looking at the Clue gif the other day. That was a really good gif you made.
Oh, that was fun to do. I like that one.
Yeah, where did you even find that clip, or did you just make that?
Well, I found the clip from the credits on YouTube, and then I took it into Shake. A compositing package, which has been deprecated and is no longer supported.
Yeah, oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
I used Shake.
I use Shake, and Shake has 3D transforms where you put. It's basically like a card 3D node in Nuke. You can rotate in Y in screen plane, and it will
more like
turn.
Rotate in Y, right?
Wow, that really
that
landed hard, Dan.
That would work better as a tweet.
It was, yes, exactly what I was thinking from the node graph.
The old folks call that kind of transform a DVE. And I'm waiting.
You'll keep, what? Huh?
DVE, that's what those kinds of things were called before card 3D existed.
Well,
anyway.
What does DVE stand for?
Digital video effect.
Oh.
I think.
Okay. Seems awfully generic. Yeah. Well, so Seven was, in addition to the art, it was also our first guest, which was Mike Hurley, and we had the constant sense of achievement with him discussing his favorite film, which is Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which I had not seen prior to having him on.
This art's so good. You've got the giant eyes. Mike's got 70 decibels shirt.
Yeah, it was based on our Twitter avatars at the time, I believe.
That's right, because you had Well, that was back before you had the sketch version of your avatar.
Mm-hmm.
You had the actual photo where you were drinking out of a Coke glass thing.
Yep. Those were the days.
Time was.
Time was you could drink out of a Coke glass.
July 30th, 2014.
Yeah. So, that was a good episode, and I quite like it. I think that really started... us on the path where our shows were starting to solidify around a topic, and
all guest episodes, and to be honest, like they're just sheer panic, and in every sense, because you know we attempt to have. I know there was a while where we had the structure where it was like, all right, we'll just talk about nothing for 5 or 10 minutes, and then we'll talk to the guest about what they're doing and what's going on, and then we'll get into a movie and why do you like this movie and stuff. And really, it's just like awkward conversation. Hello, person. How are you? Here's a movie.
Well, I mean, it's like your first podcast, because it's, you know, you don't know the chemistry for the conversational tone that you should be having in in the phone call that you're having, because. Most of the people that we have on, we talk to quite frequently on Twitter, or other avenues that require text. And, those guests are talking to us at a rate that is not real time. And so then when you're sitting there talking to somebody and you're hearing their voice and you're speaking to them and you're just like, I don't know what to say right now. This is really awkward, embarrassing for me.
I would say something totally inappropriate and jokey if we were friends, but I don't really know you, so I can't really read you yet right now.
Yeah, I'll be polite. And then nothing happens.
Politeness.
So
it's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, we've had some repeat guests, but we'll get to that. So next episode was A Turducken of Dead Media, and that was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Man, that was that long ago. Episode 8.
Yeah. That's the episode that I continue to tell people not to listen to.
Because we pooped all over it.
Yeah. Well, see, fun fact, most people on the planet Earth love Guardians of the Galaxy. It is great.
Well, they loved it until they saw Star Wars, and then they realized that it wasn't as good as they thought.
No, I don't really think that anybody said that, Dan. But
some people had that sentiment.
Okay, sure. But the thing with that is that that was the first one where both of us really came down hard on everything that was inside of the movie. for the duration of that episode. While previously we had alternated on that sort of thing, except with World War Z, where we had come down hard on it, but we still talked about Shaun of the Dead, so there was an upside to the episode. With number 8, there wasn't an upside, and if you liked The Thing, then there's no reason why you should listen to it. So it was an awkward moment. And then we had number 9. We decided to go with something positive, and we went back to Fifth Element, an oldie but a goodie from back in the day. That was chocolate syrup on everyone's forehead.
Apparently that's when I fixed my car too.
The Stang.
I don't think you can call it a Stang. It's too depressing.
Oh, okay. The Escort Supreme.
Sure, basically. Oh man, at this point, I mean, based on the notes on episode 10, you can tell that we still hadn't figured out, I mean, we still hadn't introduced ourselves, so people still couldn't tell who was who. Because episode 10 is the one when you recorded with the wrong mic input, and we actually made a note saying you can tell them apart now because Joe had the bad audio.
Yeah, well, I was also pouring tea, so
right next to the microphone. That's right.
Yeah, that was a good day for everybody, and that is also the last episode that I recorded with only QuickTime before buying Ecamm Skype call recorder.
How's that working out for you?
Mostly fine. It only forgot to record one other episode, but I have been doing QuickTime backups for most of them in the background. So you gotta cover your bases. And
two is one.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Two bases is one base.
I don't know.
Third
base. That's who's on third. Who's
yeah,
on third?
I missed the cue because I was looking at Casey's face in this image.
Oh yes. Well, we're not there yet.
It's kind of awkward. He's staring into my soul.
So for number 10, we tried to go back to our double movie special feature, and we did Empire Records and Detention. You were very insistent upon doing Detention, and you bought it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I hate Detention.
I watched a small clip of it earlier today. It was good.
Uh-huh. This is a major point of disagreement between the two of us that will probably persist until the day we die. So yeah, I just can't stand the movie. And that is also an episode where I introduced Dan to Empire Records, where he got to see some fluffy 90s teen comedy stuff.
Very emo.
Yeah.
The 90s.
Mm-hmm.
The 90s were a very serious time. So much pressure to get good grades.
Yeah.
Oh.
And to run a record store.
Sure.
Remember record stores?
No.
I'm
sure Rye does.
So, moving on to I Do This for a Living with Casey Liss, as we talked about. Collateral. And you know, it was a good film. It was Casey's favorite film that he wanted to be on to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
He likes Hunt for Red October a lot, but wanted to be on for this, so he did this, and then much later he did an episode for The Incomparable where he talked about Hunt for Red October, and so he fulfilled his dream of
his
talking
dream
about
of being on two podcasts
and talking about two movies.
Yeah.
Good for Casey.
We talked about a lot of music with him, too. I remember that specifically. I also remember his reaction when we sort of jokingly said, you know, we enjoy the musical performances of the Keshas and the Katy Perrys and the poppy Terrible People.
Yeah.
I can hear his voice in my head. We don't even need to address it. I still feel bad about it.
His ability to object about literally anything anybody else says, but be very defensive and protective of anything that he says.
I mean,
is amazing.
We didn't make any we didn't make any preferences with relation to East Coast or West Coast music, so I think we were fine.
Yeah, but he did talk about TRL. There's a good TRL story in there, and then you put in a little clip from some music that I don't even remember hearing. So
yeah, there were a bunch of clips of music every time he would describe one of those bands from back then.
Mm-hmm. It's the style of the time. Clips.
Bad music.
Yeah. So that was a good episode. And then we had a server farm to table where we talk about the movie Hackers. Hackers of the World Unite.
It does not feel like it was episode 12.
What does it feel like to you?
I was going to guess like in the 30s.
Nope.
Good Lord.
I have a feeling that the better episodes feel like they're later because they feel like we had our stuff together, so they must have been later on.
I think it's more just like the thing, like the scars of childhood travel with you through the rest of your life because they are your formative years.
Sure, that could be that. That's a total possibility. Now, I like Hackers, and you think Hackers is fun as well. And we had a good old time with that. Then we had Racing Bulldozers with Mr. Stephen Hackett.
Another good gif.
Oh, I love this one. This is just stuck his head on the little guy's body from the thing.
What? Steve Wozniak? Well, fake Steve Wozniak.
Yeah, well, fake Steve Wozniak wasn't really very Wozniak-like.
He had a beard.
Close enough.
Dressed in earth tones, apparently.
He wore beige.
He wore beige.
Head to toe beige. And Stephen Hackett liked this so much that he asked for a version where I made it like a image for his website. So if you go to the about page for 512pixels.net, you'll see a version of this that has everything replaced with the text for things that he works on. So he was there. And we talked about Pirates of Silicon Valley, which is not as good as any of us remember it being.
That was not a good movie.
No. No. Hold on a second. I need to freeze frame and then walk out of the green screen painting into a CG gallery.
Balmer Bender doing his fifth wall breaking. I don't even know what that was.
Oh, God. It was just so awful. And we...
They literally built another wall just so he could break it.
Mr. Balmer, tear it on this wall. And so then we move on to number 14, the penultimate pen. This is where we establish that I hate love and you hate chicken salad.
I'm struggling to find the context around you hating love. Is it just because you didn't believe the motivation of the characters in the movie?
No, not for 1 minute. So this is Gross Point Blank, a movie that I had never seen prior to you recommending that I see it because I find John Cusack insufferable. And I liked the film overall. But
your voice got really high, which seems to indicate that you have a copy on.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't in love with it. And I find it so unbelievable, but at the same time, it wants to be taken seriously that I had a little hard time with it. I love Joan Cusack in it, and I still love her yelling over the phone about, you know.
It's not going to be a boring soup. Carrots and celery are just a base.
Oh, so good. Can I
have more ingredients?
Yeah, it's interesting. And so then we have Chekhov's Law of Omega-13s, and this is the Galaxy Quest episode, number 15. And I love Galaxy Quest. It's one of my favorite films, and I made you politely sit there through it, and you did so.
I enjoy Galaxy Quest as well. I was not forced into anything.
Yeah, you don't love it enough, though.
I don't... I think you were just frustrated that I didn't get as many of the jokes, because I don't watch your Star Treks.
Ouch.
What ouch? That wasn't a personal insult.
I like that one. And because of being on that, but I don't think Jason Snell actually listened to it, he asked me to go on to The Incomparable for my first episode appearance on there where I was a guest. I had previously been a voice in the recordings for their episode 200 celebration. This might come as a surprise to everyone, but they have more episodes than we do. By about 200. And so they had me on for talking about Galaxy Quest again, and I had a blast doing that, and of course got to talk to Glenn Fleischman, who we will meet later on as we go through this list. Now, next up we have number 16, step 1: atomic bomb. And that is, of course, the wonderful Matt Alexander, CEO of companies,
I think.
Yeah. The plural. So he was, of course, very famous for the show Bionique and the subsequent show Bonanza, and he was on as a lovely little guest who decided that he wanted to talk about one of his favorite films, which is Goldfinger, a James Bond film. And for this GIF, I stuck his face onto the James Bond Sean Connery. I didn't have a planar tracker, so it doesn't like tilt back with the face like it should, but that kind of makes it better because it makes it more unnerving.
It's very terrifying.
Yeah, it is pretty creepy. There's nothing about this that should like be appealing to you on any level as a human being, even though it's Sean Connery in his little terry cloth onesie shorts robe thing, which is quite entertaining.
Most famous outfit of all time.
Yeah, it was Matt's favorite, and we talked about KFC chicken, of course, all the good stuff, really. Episode number 17, Clipping Plane from Heaven, and this is the cult classic Frighteners with Jeffrey Combs and you know, Michael J. Fox and the lady I can't remember the name of, and what's his face, Gary Busey's son, something Busey.
Jake Busey.
That's the one. And it's Peter Jackson and Weta making their premiere with some stuff that doesn't track.
Back when he used to make good movies.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I really like Frighteners on a certain level. It's entertaining. And the Clipping Plane from Heaven is an okay episode. Now, number 18, Tim Curried Bacon.
How do you have reference for whether it's a good or bad episode? Do you just remember, or did you listen to it recently?
I just remember. I'm just going off my feelings from my memories.
Mm.
The feels.
Search your feelings.
You know it to be true. And this was Tim Curried Bacon, which brings us to Clue, which is also one of my favorite films, and one that you care for greatly as well, because it is entertaining. And people who haven't seen it should really just go out and accomplish that task of watching it, because it is good.
This also begins the first of our apologizing in the show notes to the audience. It says, this week the guys are tired, and we're not going to lie, things get a little weird.
Yeah, well, what that means, when things get weird, that means things get improv. And when things get improv, sometimes you get pig mummies and improv boxes and...
Human jerky.
Yeah, human jerky. Just stuff. Just great stuff.
I'm telling you, man. Star Wars is the mummy.
A room full of monkeys writing this stuff down couldn't come up with jokes like this. And so that was an episode. And then we did 19, Work Your Tablescapes. And this is, of course, Tim Curry again, because we were doing like a theme of like horror, vaguely Halloween related things.
Oh yeah, it's October. You were big on the themes. I forget. Did
yeah. It's hard to do the themes throughout the year. And last December, which would have been a Christmas themed one this year, we were messed up by the Star Warsiness that needed to be covered, but we'll get to that. So Work Your Tablescapes is, of course, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Ton of fun, love it. Sing Along, Time Warp, etc. Good, great stuff.
Etc.
Yeah, Janet, Dr. Scott, Brad, Rocky, it's just infinitely quotable. So number 20, That's Not a S'more. That's Ghostbusters, and it's also...
What does that title have to do with anything?
That's Not a S'more?
Yeah, I don't remember what that has to do with anything.
Oh, when the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man explodes at the end of the film. Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert. 1984.
Yeah. Someone might not have seen it.
Spoiler alert for something as old as me. I am a spoiler.
And this is, of course, when you talked about Bayer patterns, so
I'm sure that's riveting to listen back to. I probably ranted for like 15 minutes.
Probably not 15, probably like 5. Sometimes you get very emotional about Bayer patterns.
I'm just saying, it's important to take into consideration when you're talking about all your 4Ks and 5Ks and what have you.
Anyway, this was a very long episode at 2 hours and 17 minutes. It is quite packed. And it is, of course, the episode that is more coherent of the two between 20 and 21, because 21 is Cats Per Mango. And if you can't tell from a cat playing with some yarn and it has red glowing Ultron eyes and it says there are no strings on me in the show art.
The middle ear things too, or whatever those are.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The whatever they were on the side of his head for his hearing, I guess, sort of speaker array. So we talked about the trailer for the Age of Ultron. We still managed to talk for an hour and 36 minutes. It is a fan favorite episode, number 21. And so you might be sitting there, listener, who's listening to episode 100 out of context for the first time and being like, what could possibly be so entertaining about that? I will tell you, we ramble. And this is another weird episode. And in of course, we talk about CPMs, and CPMs are, of course, cats per mango.
Yeah, I like that we've actually been able to take that back from the lexicon and sort of change it in people's minds. Now people on the internet, when they see CPM, they make jokes about cats and mangoes.
It fills my heart with joy.
Especially because I believe you are the one who said cats per mango.
Well, I mean, is everything we say on here is really a team effort.
Yeah, it's, you don't have to lie.
Because I wouldn't have said anything if you hadn't said something. Because we were riffing.
Right.
Yes. So on the paperwork for the patent, it's a sure. It's co-owners.
Co-owners of the patent and cats per mango.
Co-inventors of cats per mango.
I'm going to put that on my Wikipedia page. I only want a Wikipedia page now, so I can be a co-inventor of the cats per mango.
I am pretty sure that we are not considered relevant enough for a Wikipedia page.
Once they find out that we invented cats per mango.
Oh, well, that's really going to, when everything's going to be settled.
That's when the royalty checks are going to start rolling in.
So, 22, another guest episode. And another terrifying misaligned face gif.
It's not a good one.
No.
He somehow managed to take all of the shading off of John Cusack's face with whatever image you pulled from Snell. And he just, I don't know, he looks like a ghost, or like all of the blood has been drained from his body.
Well, I couldn't use his facial features because I had to just glue Snell's face on top. Because remember, I was still using Shake at the time. And Shake does not have the sophisticated tools that I would like to have, which were available inside of Nuke.
Your spline warping and what have you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it has spline warps, but it doesn't... Let's just say the tracking was not great. Mm. So I had to, like, manually transform his face onto the face of John Cusack. And so it slides around all funny. It looks hilarious in sort of an unnerving way. I do like your little turn, though, as the Jack Black...
Yeah, the turn is good, though, but since my face is a static image, I just have this sort of unblinking stare while I'm dancing and sort of gesticulating towards people, so it is a bit terrifying.
Well, I mean, I've seen you in person. That's kind of what you're like.
It's not at all what I'm like. See, in the GIF, he points to the ceiling while he's dancing, whereas in real life, I point at human beings.
Yes, and you'd have a water bottle in your hand. Be extending... that with the cap in your between your index and your thumb, and then the base of it towards whatever it is that you want to point at.
Yes,
arm
that's,
fully
that's
extended.
Correct. That's correct. I still don't understand. Oh, God.
So, but that episode, we talked about another John Cusack movie, and it's High Fidelity. And Jason Snell was gracious enough to be on and to grace us with his presence. And he is a good guest, and he likes to play it fast and loose when he's a guest on other people's shows. And we don't play it fast and loose when we have guests on, as we've established. We're all very awkward and timid.
But is Jason Snell, too.
Yeah.
He runs the Incomparable Network. Can you imagine, like, somebody from such a prestigious network being on our dinky little show?
You know, back back in November of 2014... No, this is quite a surprise. It was quite a get, as they say, to have him on. Nowadays, flash forward to, you know, a year and a half, and it seems a little expected, really, is the word that I would use.
Sure.
Because we're on the network.
Episode did we join the network? I don't even remember.
We'll get to that, because it says it with a big gif.
It's not a GIF.
GIF. You keep wanting to jump ahead. We gotta get through these as fast as possible.
Yeah, we're doing a great job of that.
Well, you keep interrupting me. You're like, let's talk about the future. And it's like, no, talk about the now. Talk about mm-hmm, the, well, mm-hmm. actually, talk about the then. Not the now. We're talking about the now then. So we can finally get to then now. Now, your dreams have been paved over. Yeah. Is
reference to the fact that there's concrete over top of the area where there used to be a time capsule in my elementary school.
Yes. Something that we go back to very often.
I still haven't actually followed up on that to find out if it's actually paved over.
Well, it's like a time capsule of your mind. It's paved over already. We'll never know.
It's a Schrodinger's time capsule.
Yeah. As long as you never ask, you'll never know. And you'll both simultaneously have it confirmed and denied. And so your dreams have been paved over. We talk about Christopher Nolan and SGI workstations, and we give an opinion on Bonanza, which is Matt Alexander and Mike Hurley again, and their LA relay race, because we got opinions. That's us. Now, 70 millimeter ledge.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I think this is the other one that we should tell people not to listen to if they want to not be angry. Although I think the prevailing sentiment around Interstellar has leaned more in our direction than, say, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I think people came to their senses on this one.
They realized that it was insufferably long and indulgent and kind of dumb.
Yeah, and it's just... He's very self-indulgent with his work, and we address this very much in that episode, and I don't respond well to it. I feel very conscious of the fact that he knows that he's being clever about certain things, and there are many points where he's not being clever. There are points in which I could spell out to you using binary code or Morse code, or maybe I'll just rattle this bookcase, but we'll get back to that at some other future time. Now, 25, a controlled leak. This is where we talk about trailers. I like this episode a lot because trailers meant a great deal to me back in my youth when I was but a wee Joe.
A wee Floridian.
Yeah, and so back in the day, we talk about, you know, QuickTime 3 and downloading trailers that were, you know, oh, high resolution, 360, from the internet, and loading up things for The Phantom Menace and whatever, and how amazing they were, and what disappointments they turned out to be. And we, of course, talk about trailers for Force Awakens and Jurassic World. We have opinions on those, which we'll follow up on. 26, Shill for Big Dairy. This is where we start off the season, right, with putting the Home Alone back in Christmas, and that is of course with the Sony hack, and which personally affected me, which is delightful. And then we talked about Home Alone, which is fun, yay! You know, a large cheese pizza and, you know, macaroni and cheese. All Kevin wants is cheese, really, and the movie is full of it. And so then 27, we go into a growler of maple syrup. This is a fan favorite as well, because we talk about Elf, and we talk about maple syrup, and we talk about waffles, and we talk about pancake syrup, and we talk about my general disdain.
Pancake syrup. Why would you say it like that? Like it's going to come back to bite me.
Uh-huh. Well, and listener of the show, Brandon Mathis, sent in a photo of himself holding a jug of maple syrup. So that was unexpected.
He just so happened to have a giant jug of maple syrup.
Yeah, he wasn't even for the show. He just had one, which is just surprising in and of itself. Now, number 28, I Know Where Pomona Is. This is, you know, one of your absolute favorite movies, and one of the ones where I was like, is that a Christmas movie?
Yes.
And
yes, it is. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. End of story.
Yeah, so we talked about Die Hard, and it's a classic, and it's a lot of fun, and I liked it. I generally like how that episode turned out. It's a little on the long side, so save that one for a long commute. Now,
2 hours and 3 minutes, that's not even... Oh, boy, if you think that's on the long side, good Lord, we've got
I think anything where we hit 2 hours is long. So then we got our first Year in Review episode, which was 29, and we did our fake award show. I mean, real award show. Real.
It was pretty good, though.
Very real. It took you 12 hours to edit. And
over 2 days.
The funny, ironic part of this is that we came up with the idea of doing a clip show because we didn't think we would have that much time to record. So we thought it would be easier to just assemble things than it would be to just talk. Fun lesson for anyone out there looking to do this.
Well, we also kind of took it a different direction. We went back to the college days of sound design class and did like Foley work and junk and made like a radio play out of the first, what, like 3 minutes of the thing.
Yeah, well, I was also deeply inspired by the incomparable theater of the air radio plays that they were doing. You know, David Lord and Snell again. And so we did that, and it was a good one. And, you know, that gives you a couple little clips throughout that first half of a year of the existence of the show. Since we had only been around.
It was the trend of us trying to sort of, like, sum up what we thought our best features were and be like, no, guys, just listen to this if you want to like see what we're really about, because this is all you really need to listen to, right, guys? There's some worth here, I promise. We did 28 episodes and there's some worth here, right?
Yeah, man, the poor fools listening to this. So 30, all plans were dumb plans. This was when we talked about Snowpiercer.
Movie still gets under my skin. I just see it in the like the guide when I'm scrolling through movies on my satellite television interface there, and it makes me angry.
Whenever anybody brings it up in like a positive way, my blood boils because I just
you lose all respect for those people.
I hate Snowpiercer. Words cannot describe how much I hate Snowpiercer. It might be the most hated film that we've ever covered on here. Or at least in a tie with Birdman, but
enjoyed Birdman, so it's going to be the most hated film on this.
Okay,
show.
All right. Well,
you know, we hated it so much we didn't even tear it to shreds. We only talked for an hour and 19 minutes.
It was painful. I really just generally can't. And if you like Snowpiercer, don't listen to that episode. If you don't like Snowpiercer or want to know more about Snowpiercer, also don't listen to that episode.
I'm going to go listen to it now. I'm going to go listen to it now.
Okay. But it's a good use of your time, Dan. Right before your kidneys are removed, you really want to get the blood pressure up.
It'll put me to sleep, so I don't need as much anesthesia.
So I like a good montage. We talked about Real Genius, again, with return guest Jason Snell. And this is one of his favorite movies.
Mine as well.
A movie that he had talked about in a very early episode of The Incomparable, which was unjustly maligned, some might say, by a frequent panelist, John Siracusa, who tore it to shreds and left poor Jason Snell a shell of a man. And so we gave him the chance to redeem himself.
It also left him in the position where now he'll go on any podcast that anyone offers to let him talk about Real Genius and spread the word of how great it is.
Yeah, because he did this, and then like a month later, he did Real Genius with Mike on Upgrade. So there's lots of Real Genius to go around, and it was also a fun one because you got to hear Jason Snell talk about penises. And so then the Eddie Van Halen paradox. We talk about Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, a classic.
Yeah, also got some great show art here where you very creepily photoshopped our faces onto Bill and Ted. And I went out and did some field work where I took a photo in the parking lot of the Circle K, where, the actual Circle K from the movie, because it's one of the few things that has actually been shot in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, well, fun fact about that film, even though it takes place in California, they're like, no, we're going to save money and we'll go to Arizona to shoot it.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good way to save money because everything's cheap here. Mm-hmm. And terrible.
Yep, all we are is cheapness in the wind. And so we move on to That Was a Pretty Good Day. And this is the Groundhog Day episode. I love Groundhog Day. And you love Groundhog Day, and everyone loves Groundhog Day. And I love this episode that is about Groundhog Day. Mm-hmm. And so I highly recommend listening to this episode about Groundhog Day. I enjoy it so much that on Groundhog Day, I tweet that you should listen to this episode because it is that much fun. I jokingly told Dan that maybe we should just re-release the episode or re-review the movie every year. But both of those seemed onerous and sort of painful. So we're not doing that to you.
I thought it would be a nice tradition to just put the same episode in the feed every single year at a different number.
So instead, I just send a link. So just keep an eye out for that. Or just go to defocus.co/33 for That Was a Pretty Good Day. And now we get to the icing on the sandwich, which is Chef. And it is Jon Favreau. And he is exploring what appears to be some issues that he's had with directing Iron Man movies.
Yeah, he's working it out and talking about you got to be true to yourself as an artist and not kowtow to the you know, the people who would have you sacrifice quality and things.
Yeah, you don't want to be stuck being known for making big, expensive, formulaic things that are guaranteed wins. You gotta make the risky moves, you know, like Jungle Book. And so that was a sick Jon Favreau burn. Sorry, Jon Favreau. I'm sure the movies were good.
I'm sure he's weeping into his dollar bills.
Oh, with so many dollar bills. And we also talked about Cuban sandwiches, which is fun.
It's a sore spot for you.
Well, you brought it up.
Run to the store right now and get some ingredients and build myself a Cuban sandwich.
No, you can't. You can't do it, Dan, because you're not in Florida. You can't get Cuban bread in Arizona. It's not possible.
I'm still gonna make a sandwich. I'm gonna call it a Cuban.
are you gonna get some dry pork tenderloin and then slice it up into little circles and arrange it on there?
Oh, you're so bent out of shape. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna use the panini press that somebody bought and mailed to us for in celebration of my kidney removal.
And then put it on some ciabatta bread.
Oh no, ciabatta's terrible.
Oh, thank God. Okay, so at least you didn't do that.
I'll just do some Wonder Bread.
Moving on. Cheese Slingers. This is where we talk about Big Hero 6, which is a fun animated film that we both enjoy. It is a light romp. So keep an eye out for that if you like light romps. And we talked about lighting, and we talked about Hyperion, the renderer. You know, path tracing.
That long ago. Good Lord.
Yeah. Now we got You're a Soldier, Eri, which I have to say like that because we put the apostrophe there. And that's we talk about Edge of Tomorrow, which is a movie that I was reluctant to see because I don't generally like Tom Cruise, much in the same way that I don't like John Cusack, only it's more because he's a creepy Scientologist.
He's a great actor.
He is an artificial human being. It is creepy watching him in interviews. But he was
genetically grown in a lab specifically for the purposes of being one of the greatest actors of all time.
Okay, great. Well, I was wrong about Edge of Tomorrow because he is good in the movie. Emily Blunt is fantastic in the movie. And the effects in it were really quite interesting. So I like Edge of Tomorrow and I highly recommend it. And it's sort of a sleeper hit because I believe that Warner Brothers might have marketed this wrong. And that it also might have been cursed because it had Tom Cruise cast in the lead role. And he hasn't been that successful in lead roles and things recently.
Yeah, they didn't like the name, so they changed it to that Eat, Pray, Love, Die, Repeat nonsense.
Yes, exactly. Eat, Pray, Love, Die, Repeat.
Relatively certain I made that joke back then, too.
Yeah, I think you did. But maybe this time Julia Roberts will show up and we'll finally get our way out of the French countryside to Paris.
I think she's friends with Tom.
Sure. She seems so friendly. number 37. I can have my feelings. This is my...
where Joe has a breakdown on the air.
Yeah, this is... I can have my feelings is my exclamation to you in defense of my objection to Birdman.
It's terrible because for the first 30 minutes of the podcast, we have a really sort of honest and serious conversation about, you know, what's going on in Hollywood and the covering up of visual effects and sort of the problems that the visual effects industry is facing and what, unfortunately, Mr. Iñárritu did to the visual effects facility, who did the wonderful work in this movie. And then we proceeded to stray down very different paths with regard to the enjoyment of the film itself.
Yeah, I guess listen to the first 30 minutes, and then you can probably skip it.
It's good. It's a good 30 minutes. It's very relevant even now still.
The feedback I got from Jason Snell was that he had listened to this episode and was pumping his fist in the air in approval of my statements. So I have somebody behind me. Somebody's in my camp.
We debated a few things via Twitter and... I think he took my opinions to think about and actually mull them over rather than just be angry about them like you would.
I think he's just much better at being
polite
than I am.
Maybe.
So, I mean, that's one if you want to be angry about something, you can listen to that one. Now, How Do You Feel is, of course, our episode that we did for sort of a remembrance of Leonard Nimoy, who had passed at that time. And I wasn't sure what to talk about because I wanted to talk about him because he was such a important actor in the media that I had consumed and also a director of media that I had consumed. And so I picked out a fan favorite of his films. Now, Dan hasn't seen the surrounding films, so we kind of joke that he's seen the Machete Order of Star Trek films. But I felt it was pretty confident. It stood enough on its own that Dan could derive enough enjoyment to say it was fine at the end of it. And I believe that was Dan's assessment. We watched Voyage Home, and I liked it, and I appreciate that Dan let me explore those feelings. And then, of course, Arv Bennett also died, which is kind of sad because he was the producer on those movies. So it's a bummer.
Yeah.
So on to Good Feelings.
Good Feelings from RoboCop.
Yes. There's nothing
the
but Good Feelings.
The property of OCP. That's I feel like there was a transitive property theme that ran through some of these episodes where we were trying to connect the dots between themes that weren't necessarily there.
Yeah, well, everything was the transitive property of Chekhov's gun at some point or another. there are recurring bits, shall we say. So transitive property of OCP was a fun little romp. And we talk about the old original 1987 RoboCop. Have seen the new RoboCop.
I was going to say, you were inspired to go watch the new one after this, and then you got all angry again.
I was furious. So the old one, I like it. It's farcical, so you can enjoy the farce, but it is not something you should take seriously. It's like, oh, this was what they thought Detroit would be like, and it's like, no, of course, that's not what they thought Detroit would be like. It's actually much worse than that now. But the situation is entertaining in terms of the one-upsmanship and the corporate intrigue and all the stuff that they praised in the 80s. It's like, oh, guess some of that's still here. So I like that one. Now, 40, Stagnant Beyond Stagnant. We talk about the Apple TV, which is something that comes up every now and then in things that I'm involved with where I feel like ranting.
Yeah, this is literally the only time we've ever talked about that.
No, I mean, thank God we didn't spend any more time and I didn't have a spin-off podcast where I talked about it and I didn't have several thousands of words on a blog about that. And good thing. So we talk about the Apple TV. So better to just skip that. Blossoming Death Onion. This is where we talk about The Last Starfighter. This was a movie that I had bought for Dan. And sent to him via iTunes because he'd said he hadn't seen it and it's not available for streaming anywhere and I was pretty sure he wasn't going to go see it, so I just did that. And I kind of do this as a joke, and so I've sent it to a few people now. And I'm pretty sure my plan to slowly make people watch The Last Starfighter is going to be slow, but it's still a plan. And I still like the movie, and Dan was fine with it. We talked about the silliness of the visual effects, the early computer graphics.
Very video gamey.
Yeah. But it was, you know, it was a video game. And of course, the Music Man's in it. Now, he's not familiar with ICE. We talk about Total Recall. Again, the original one, not the crummy one. And
yeah,
I
spent a lot of time in the 80s and the 90s, early 90s.
Well, it was an influential period for us as moviegoers. So it's a corner touchstone. Also, they're generally available for streaming more often.
I think we finally found that trend in our format here.
And that's why we talked about Total Recall, and we both like Total Recall. And it is, again, a ridiculous movie. And I recap to Dan my feelings about the remake that I also saw and did not like. Now we have 43, Bad Guys and Baristas. This is where we talk about John Wick, a movie that Dan had to convince me to see because I was deeply skeptical. I came away a huge fan of John Wick, so Dan was right. And this was a...
Sorry, you want to say that again? Because it's probably the only time you're going to say that during this show.
Dan was right. And so
that's good.
It was a blast. I really liked it. And, you know, of course, Dan talked about NAB, the National Association of Bread. And we
just use any old bread.
Yeah.
Remind me again what exactly is special about Cuban bread.
They use lard instead of butter. It's different. It's a different texture to it. It's a different kind of fat.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Uh-huh. And that affects it how? In its crispiness?
The exterior is crispy, but the inside is so fluffy. And then it's still got structure, and it's kind of like a baguette, but not like a baguette. And then it goes stale even faster because the lard goes faster. It goes stale faster than the butter kind, but it's delicious when it's fresh, which is why it doesn't travel well, which is why it's mostly only in the state of Florida.
How specifically does it differ from a baguette? Because it seems to have both of those properties too, the crispy outside and fluffy inside.
But it's slightly different. Like, it's hard to describe if you haven't had it, Dan. Like, you just need to have the epiphany of having Cuban bread.
Well, I don't think I've had a Cuban sandwich in Florida, so apparently I have never had one.
No. I mean, if you play your cards right, one of these days you may be lucky enough to vacation in Florida.
One of these days.
Don't worry, Dan. It's just like where you're from, only it's humid instead of dry. But the people are exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And so you won't have to worry about anything. And there's big chain stores and strip malls, and you just drive forever. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I'll make sure to save up and schedule a trip.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have, of course, They Need More Wow Factor. This is where we had another trailer extravaganza because they had another big trailer release that was all in the same week. And this, of course, included Terminator Genesis, our skepticism about Batman versus Superman and Jurassic World trailers and Star Wars and everything. It's just more trailers. Yay! Moving past that, it's not really...
I think this is where most of our trailer episodes are also good because it kind of proves us right in the instances where we have our skepticisms. I think we've become pretty good at reading trailers.
Well, except I need to go back and listen to it again because I'm not sure if we were sufficiently skeptical of a couple of these, and I'm not sure if we were overly skeptical of a couple of these. So I kind of want to reconfirm our bias before I make that pronouncement. Now, Asgardian Go Bag, we talk about the obscure cult classic Marvel's The Avengers from 2012. And this is, of course, leading up to the following episode where we talk about Avengers Age of Ultron. And one of these we liked more than the other one. And the one that we liked more is the first one because it was a little bit more fun and not a total mess. And the second one is a mess and we didn't enjoy it. And we thought that it didn't really hold together very well as a movie and it was overly long and bloated and stuffed with all kinds of craziness that didn't need to be there.
Yeah, it's the important questions. Why and what?
Yeah, and it made me deeply skeptical about the Captain America Civil War project, which was going to have many of these characters return. So that was not something I was looking forward to.
Yeah, how'd that pan out for you?
It was better than I was afraid it was going to be, but not amazing, as we talked about in the episode where we talked about it. So we're getting to that. 47, Mints in Public Bathroom. We talk about Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Another fun one, a fun romp. We have a very classy soup where we talk about The Rocketeer. And this is, of course, a reference to the soup that they are served when they're at the restaurant, where he tries to put the message in the thing, and it's just all silly. And he spills the soup on Neville Sinclair.
Delightful movie.
It's fun. It's Joe Johnston. Lots of fun. Now, number 49, I have complaints about hair. This is where you convinced me to watch Kung Fury, a movie, a short film, which is available for free on YouTube and was a Kickstarter project. And that is an 80s parody in that they just sort of went all out on parodying anything and everything. There's a part where people are shooting into phones that shoot people out the other side of the phone. So it's wacky.
It's an insane movie, but it's like 36 minutes of gloriousness, wonderful filmmaking.
Yeah, it's entertaining. Now, 50, the titular Django. This was Django Unchained. This was
the first time since episode one where I convinced you to talk about Tarantino.
Yeah, well, this is something you had been asking me to watch since episode one. So halfway through the current run, I watched...
It took about a year.
Yeah. Yeah, so I watched it, and it wasn't so terrible. I mostly objected to everything that happened in the third act, if memory serves. The wacky physics of shooting somebody that flies across the room, etc., and blowing up the thing in the distance, and it just got silly at a certain point. But there were some things that weren't so silly and weren't quite as exploitative as I feared. Now, 51, the John Wayne walk, this was the compromise where I talked to you into doing this, and this was for, I think it was because it was Pride, because it was June, and I was like, oh, we should do something fun. And so I talked you into watching The Birdcage. And The Birdcage is one of my favorite comedies because it is just sort of light and fluffy, but still has... you know, a little bit of a message in there. It's entertaining without being cloying, and it's very approachable, I think, for almost anyone. And so I really like it. The cast is great. The execution is fantastic. And so I really think you should also go listen to the episode because I think we did a good job covering it.
Yeah, it's both fun and heartfelt.
Yes. And 52, A Podcast Loaf. This is our 1 year anniversary episode. We reminisce about the show and some listener questions. We don't have any listener questions lined up for this second year.
Yeah, nobody has any questions. They know what we're doing. They know why we do it. Well, yeah. They know why we do it as much as we know why we do it.
Yeah. And if you don't know by now, if you're listening for the first time ever to this podcast, then you should have known because we just described 52 episodes of the podcast. So 53, the Amber that broke the Dilophosaurus' back. This time we talk about Jurassic World, the much awaited Jurassic World, which we had teased for many, many episodes, basically almost a year. And we watched it, and neither one of us liked it. And we
said we weren't even going to watch the movie, and then we both did. And then we decided that we had to talk about it because it was terrible.
We have a tendency of doing that on occasion where we say, oh, I'm not going to talk about that.
I mean, you're driving by the movie theater and it's like, well, it's an off hour. I could sneak in and get a good showing. It won't be too many people. And it's the thing a lot of people are talking about. So I kind of want to weigh in, and you do it. And you're like, I shouldn't have done that because.
Yeah. Jason wanted to go see it, which is why I was dragged along to go see it. My plan was to avoid it. But yep. And then afterwards, it was like, I need to talk about this because I have to vent. And so that was number 53. Now, number 54, Majored in Wall, Minored in Alcove, is when we talked about Independence
Day. Great title. I have no idea where that came from.
That was when we were talking about the little alcove that they run into in the tunnel. The dog jumps in and she hits the wall.
Oh,
the wall
right.
moves, and then they close the door and the fireball goes through there.
You explained to me why the fireball did not enter into the alcove.
Yes. It was just... It's a fun movie. We've received positive feedback from more than one person about that. So you should probably go listen to that one. And since it's Independence Day, it's pretty evergreen. Just, you know, certain time of the year. Celebrate fireworks and a defocused episode. And now 55, A Soft Flaccid Waffle. This is a very notable episode because mm-hmm. this is guest Andrzej Tomczyk. And he is on to talk about one of his favorite films, which is Stripes, which he had been talking about wanting to come on to talk about for forever. And we finally arranged to have him on. It's very difficult to have Andrzej on because the time difference is not conducive to him being here when we are available to record. I believe it was like 3 a.m, he said, when he set an alarm to wake up to do this. And I just can't even believe it. And his girlfriend was very respectful of the fact that he wanted to go wake up and do this podcast thing. And then he went to work for a full day afterwards. And I was just like, You are really into being on the episode. So he seemed to have a good time. And we have the controversy over what constitutes a pancake. And Andrzej's wrong because a pancake is a pancake. And his palachinka is a crepe. So,
but according to him, palachinka came before the crepe. So
yeah, well,
the OG pancake. No, it's very. It's a very contentious episode, and that's still episode 55 has made it all the way till now. That still seems to be the running joke and the primary you know, cultural impact from the show that currently exists out in the world from us.
It does seem to have overshadowed Shane Burrito. And so, and there's even a parody account for it on Twitter, which is totally not run by somebody that we figured out who it is.
Yeah, because
he was not good at disguising who was running the parody account.
He was definitely not at the meetup sitting next to you.
No, definitely not.
With a hat on.
British in the year 3000, we talked about Jupiter Ascending, which was sort of trendy to do at the time. I was kind of like, I kind of want to see what this train wreck is, because some people are coming out to defend it. And I tried to be positive, but I don't think I really enjoyed it very much at all.
No, it's a pile of trash.
Yes. And so 57.
And somehow not as bad as Snowpiercer, probably because it doesn't take itself quite as seriously.
Yeah, I think it's because it's sort of ridiculous on its face that it it's not as serious, but not as much of a grievous error. I think it's the movies that are full of themselves, which I despise more than anything. But the BYOP, Bring Your Own Poison, that is when we talk about The Princess Bride with Aline Sims, who came on to talk about one of her favorite films, and she is very proactive about feminism and diversity issues, and she wanted to talk about a film where Princess Buttercup is kidnapped and mostly useless through the whole thing. So something I like to tease her about. But it is a fun episode, and a lot of people deeply love that movie, and it's infinitely quotable. And so you can tune in to hear only a small selection of the quotes, because obviously we're not going to read everything that they said in the entire film, because that would take forever. More than the long runtime of the film. It was the 80s of the time. This is when we talked about Top Secret, a suggestion from Dan, which I had not seen before. It is very...
Wait, I suggested this?
I didn't.
Because I don't think I'd really seen, I mean, maybe more than like 5 minutes of the movie before we talked about that.
Oh, well, I think that was maybe what you might have said to me, but I know that for a fact I have not seen any of it and that I did not recommend it. But I believe you wanted to see it. Because it was on Netflix.
I want to blame this on the audience. I want to say the audience suggested we talk about it.
I don't think anybody did that. No, so the 80s of the time, we talked about Top Secret, which is kind of a mess of a film. It has some airplane moments where there's some wacky stuff that just sort of breaks reality, but a lot of visual puns and stuff. And there are some people who were involved in making that. So I don't really recommend that episode. It was a fun little romp. 59, How's Your Sigraph? This is when we met for the first time. Number 59.
My goodness.
It was live, in person. We recorded half of the episode wrong.
For the first and probably last time ever. See, that's not true.
Yes. Well, it's true now, but it won't be true by the time I see your kidney removed.
Yeah, exactly.
And so...
That sounds weird.
Well, I mean, you picked the joke, and now we're stuck with it. We're stuck with your kidney. Stuck with your kidney until it's removed. Then we're not stuck with your kidney anymore. Then you can move on to another joke.
Okay.
But not until then.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. You need to be very firm about this. So the episode is mostly about us walking around the conference known as SIGGRAPH, which is the Society of blah, 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 blah. And
SIGGRAPH actually stands for something?
Yes, it's...
International Graphics and Games and...
You thought that was a word?
I don't know. I thought it was a... thought it was a name of something. I don't know.
No. It stands for stuff, but I can never remember what it is. The Society for International Graphics something, but I can never remember. It doesn't matter. We went through and looked at all this really horribly sad stuff and had a sad lunch and... went to your hotel and recorded on the Yeti that you brought with you through the wrong microphone stuff and discussed what we saw there at the show and our time together. It was a joyous experience.
Yeah,
and
then we went to our meetup where there were people there. There were some actual human beings there, and some of which who had already listened to the thing we released before that very same day.
People are committed sometimes, and I don't know why, but bless them. And so we met people, and now both of us have a Rum membership, which will expire.
I'm looking forward to it expiring just so they can stop sending me emails.
Oh, they send you emails? I don't get any emails.
Oh, I get emails all the time.
That's weird. Did I not sign up with the right email address then? Oh, well. I haven't come back to test, so I have no idea. Surprise. Now, 60, Slime Talk with Dan and Joe. We talk about Starship Troopers, a fun little romp that we both enjoy. Again, a Paul Verhoeven movie, stuff explodes. Guts. And we mostly just have a good time with that. And if you don't have a good time with that, then I don't know what's wrong with you, because it's Starship Troopers and it's amazing. We identified all of the areas that we had just recently seen inside of the LA Convention Center, where they appear to have shot many, many parts of the futuristic futurescape.
It's a very popular, probably relatively cheap location for people to shoot movies. Futuristic movies around Los Angeles.
Where you have to have a lot of people milling around. Yes.
Sure.
It doesn't seem like that would be a good spot.
It's a good place to mill.
And now 61 is one of your recommendations. That is The Mullet of River Housing.
Oh, man, that turned out so well. This is another movie that I had not seen, but I wanted to see Roadhouse.
You were so jazzed.
I'm still jazzed at the fact that we did this.
It was a favorite movie of yours, and I was deeply skeptical. I had fun, but I don't enjoy the movie, and I wouldn't really recommend it if you're not like on a podcast with somebody who doesn't also really love it. I think that might also be a big deciding factor.
It's a disaster of a late 80s film, and I hadn't seen it. I was aware of it.
Remember when the polar bear falls over on that guy? Anyway, so
the polar bear.
He's taken out by a polar bear. He's shooting.
Yeah, the ending of this movie is just bad.
It's the best. The coffee table. Remember the coffee table?
Yeah.
So
basically, the cops show up and say, "Who did it?" And everyone's like, "Oh no!" And then they just leave.
You can't arrest nobody because we don't know who done nothing. All right. So 62, Jif Jif Jif, Peanut Butter Escher. That's when we talked about Labyrinth, which is something that I convinced you to see, which is not exactly as I had remembered it being from the last time I had seen it. You did not perhaps respond well to it, and perhaps the ample David Bowie crotch that was on display. And the
I don't think my complaints center on the David Bowie crotch, but the movie is not great, but one of the all-time great titles.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how could you turn that title down? It has GIF in it.
It also has GIF in it, too.
GIF.
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 Peanut butter.
63, Living the 1935 Dream. This is a recommendation of yours. Again, getting back at me for Labyrinth with Johnny Dangerously, which I did not enjoy.
How dare you? Johnny Dangerously is a wonderful film.
Well, I've seen it once. Once.
But based on the fact that we only got 56 minutes into recording, I'm gonna say yeah, it didn't go over super well.
Yeah, it was skip it in your big defocus rewatch. Nope.
Great movie.
Do You Know How My Hand Is Shaped is another one about the Apple TV and when the new one had come out, and we talk about media. So skip that again. The bald cop doesn't have a hot dog in his bun with special guest Glenn Fleischman.
Highlander.
And
holy crap, what a bad movie.
Yeah, I believe this is also the distinction of being the longest title we've ever had. And Highlander is an absolute mess. I'm still trying to get him to watch Flash Gordon because I think that is right up his alley. He loves Highlander. So I'm like, you have to love Flash Gordon. I want to have him on for Flash Gordon. Spoiler alert. Someday.
I don't think I've seen Flash Gordon.
You will. I want to have him on for Flash Gordon, and I want to have Anjay on for Spies Like Us, but we have to wait. We have to wait for the perfect time to strike. Well, no, just because I think he gets a kick out of the communist stuff, too. Because our 80s American comedies about spies and the Cold War are rather entertaining. I think.
Well, we'll just have to find out.
Well, won't we? And 66, Peter Truck.
Meme, for the love of God, you don't have to keep that running joke going.
Peter Mem.
Anyway, The Burbs is a great movie.
it's fine. We get to see Carrie Fisher. Post-Star Wars, pre-Star Wars, Carrie Fisher. The wife of Tom Hanks, and we got to see the nutty neighbor guy with the rifles and the wacky people who moved in with the furnace. So, you know, good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Shot in the Universal backlot.
And then the song from Patton.
67. I'm totally a good guy. I'm just oily and dirty. That is Masters of the Universe, which was made available on streaming, and I was like, oh my god, 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 we have to do this. And then it was a blast because we talked about it for 2 hours and 4 minutes because it was so amazing. And
yeah, amazing is the word for it.
Yeah, it's very much a mess, and it is a joy to discuss what a mess it is. It is definitely all over the board in every sense of it. And Frank Langella's. I don't know. Is it soft G or hard G? What do you think, Dan? GIF? GIF?
GIF.
Franklin Gifla?
Yeah.
Okay. So Frank does a good Skeletor, and that was a blast. And then 68 was our first episode on the Incomparable Network, and this was Souls for Her Feet, Ghostbusters 2.
It's a very punny title. It's very you.
Yes. Well, I
feel like you said that.
I feel like I did too. Yeah, we talk about Viggo, and we talk about how, you know, maybe this movie isn't so bad. It's just, you know, not great, but it's not so bad. It could be worse. It's fine. And then I did the little old timey movie thing for some reason for the promotional switch to the network, and then we paired it with this episode.
It's a very good GIF. You got the Zeppelin, you got the clouds moving in the background, and there's some parallax there, and the logos come up, and you have an actual defocus effect.
Yeah, it's because I switched to Nuke for that.
See, your GIFs got a lot better when you switched to Nuke.
Well, I think this is the only one I did after that. But so 69, this cat, DJAF. People out there who are worried about small children reading their laptop screens, don't Google DJAF, but for all the adults, wink, wink, you know what that means.
Oh, the cat just sat there and watched everyone get eaten.
Yeah, that cat was not, well, I mean, I guess he was very cat-like, but he was not very, very humane. So this was about Ridley Scott's Alien. We enjoyed discussing this. They had the flamethrowers and the hallways and the corporate stuff and the going down to, you know, Smoke Machine Planet, and all of the really great things that for the time were innovative in filmmaking and interesting and broke new boundaries, but which a modern audience member who had not seen these things before might go and watch it and be like, oh, all this stuff's already been done before. And it's like, well, this is where it came from. So that's good. And we briefly talk about how much neither one of us like Prometheus, and how Ridley Scott totally went off the rails with that one. So, 70, C-3PO's funeral parlor.
It's the beginning of the Star Wars extravaganza.
Uh-huh. We're getting up into the good stuff now.
Oh, yeah.
This is Star Wars, or as it's sometimes referred to, Star Wars A New Hope. Or as it's sometimes referred to, Star Wars Episode 4. Or as it sometimes refers to, Star Wars, you don't call it anything else, blah, blah, blah. I was there in 1976, blah, 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 whatever. So, number 70.
Dr. Drang.
I had talked Dan into seeing this. And Dan is, as we've established, not big on space. He's...
I enjoy my personal space, but not so much the things that involve flying around in starfields.
Yes. So, Dan doesn't like stars. That's why he lives in Arizona and not Los Angeles. But
you can see all the stars here. Maybe that's what it is. I see enough of them in my not gigantic city with clear skies, then you don't get enough of them living in Los Angeles. So that's why you have to watch them on a screen.
You totally missed my pun. Stars?
Yeah, mine's better.
Okay, you win. So C-3PO's funeral parlor, then we had the Mallrats line for number 71, and this is, of course...
I made everyone angry, including, I think, Todd, by saying, yeah, this from the movie Mallrats. I know it from Mallrats.
Yeah. Man, Dan is not...
I'm right here.
Dan is...
You're talking about me like I'm not here.
Listeners, I'm talking to you and only you. Dan is not super familiar with Star Wars because he doesn't watch it very often. So please forgive him. He knows not what he does. Well, he doesn't. He knows no exactly what he's doing, really. He's deliberately avoiding one of the cultural touchstones that we all collectively share as human beings on the planet.
I'm not avoiding it. I've seen it.
Yeah. 71, that Mallrats line. That's the Mallrats line. 72, Then we all shout and throw things at our TV.
Because we can only watch the special edition versions of these movies through iTunes.
Yes, and the special edition of Return of the Jedi is the most mangled of the three original ones. The musical interludes, the ending credits, and Anakin, and most importantly, a recent edition, because George Lucas didn't stop messing with these until very, very recently, more recently than you think, when he introduced the "no" from episode 3 into Return of the Jedi as something that Vader says when he throws the Emperor off, which I objected to very strongly.
Yeah, it was bad, and then we shout and throw things at our TV.
Yes. But at least they got all the good stuff in there. They, you know, at least they have, you know, your friends are walking into a trap, as is your rebel fleet. You know, all the good things are right there.
All the great Joe impressions.
Yeah. And so, 73.
You gave me an out. We were just going to do the original. Was it just the first one or just the original three? And then you're like, well, we could do all of them on our way up to Force Awakens. And I was like, eh, why not? I mean, how much worse could it be? We've only done three. We've already done three. We could do three more on our way to the actual release. And then I regretted that decision.
Famous last words, right? Because we did Phantom Menace. And we were menaced. Boy, what a mess. Moving on, 74. Eight-year-olds writing romance for 14-year-olds. Actually, this is the longest title we've ever had. Sorry, Glenn. So,
by actual characters, yeah. But by words, I think Glenn might still have it.
Do hyphenated words count as... maybe. So... this was episode 2, Attack of the Clones, which we kind of are on the fence about as maybe being one of the worst, well, maybe being the worst Star Wars movie. That was a mess. 75, quid pro quo, Anakin. This is, of course, episode 3, and it's, oh, you're being lured to the dark side in such a clumsy, ham-fisted, horrible way, and this movie's not very good, but everybody likes it because it's dark, blah. And then 76, we talk about defocus your torso. This is where we had our shirt campaign, and we
Remember when we sold shirts? That was a thing we did.
I know. I wear them sometimes. It's very exciting for me.
I'm not wearing mine right now, but I almost wore one today.
Oh, well, I didn't almost wear it, but I have it with me in a bag. I might wear it.
Hmm.
Not now, but later. So defocus your torso, number 76, is a very short but fun episode. Only 37 minutes. Tune in for some nonsense. 77, I'm happy that you liked his hand. This is our episode about The Force Awakens. We have received much positive feedback about this from very many people, including Todd Vaziri, who worked on it, which I think is great because he is fine as a human being and he has a green Twitter avatar and sometimes appears as guests on things. This episode was 2 hours and 47 minutes, which is a heck of a runtime, but it is a long movie.
Man, that's got to be the longest we would ever talk about a movie ever.
So that was a blast, and we both enjoy the movie. I do recommend listening to that episode. It is not a downer. 78, Defocus 2015, year in review. We repeat the mistakes of the years before by doing a fake award show, only this time I was going to take on the editing because I had the time and Dan did not, and it took me probably about the same amount of time or a little bit longer because I didn't really have the finesse for the audio editing that Dan had. We had some fun with that, with, you know, some ad reads and some Emperor and Mark Maron action.
The years of reviews are always good.
It's a fun time. You get to play dress up with audio, with voices. So 79, Notary Monkey. What falls faster, feather or a jeep?
It's the rundown. It's one of your favorites.
I quite like it. Christopher Walken, Dwayne the Rock Johnson, Sean William Scott.
You gonna do the quote?
Little thunder, little lightning. Little thunder, little lightning.
Okay.
Yes. That quote? Was that the one you were talking about?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
I like it.
Yeah, I know. You did it in the show a couple times.
Several times. 80, peak pleather.
Peak pleather.
Yeah, this is how do you put your worm in your pleather pants? And this was when we talked about swordfish.
It's a bit heavy on the innuendo there. What was that all about?
I don't remember exactly, but it had something to do with the terrible things they were wearing. And the fact that you owned leather pants?
Nope.
What was it?
Nope. Didn't own war once.
War. Oh,
briefly.
Well, the thing you want to do is borrow something that doesn't really breathe. Because there's definitely no bodily stuff left on that. So 81, red
it was
dirt.
An experiment.
Great. 81, red dirt and expectations. We talked about The Martian and Mad Max Fury Road in a combo pack. Which
only
we had
an hour and 29. How did we manage to do that?
Because we didn't really have a lot to say about either one that we felt wasn't covered by better other sources than what we had to say. Also, The Martian really wasn't very good. So there you go. Comedy of the year, my butt. And so number 82, Fear Factor Frontier. This is when we talked about The Revenant. Now, spoiler alert, I didn't like The Revenant.
And yeah, neither did I.
This is a surprise because Dan had liked Birdman and had defended vociferously Birdman and Iñárritu in Birdman.
I don't know how much I defended him.
He made everything about the movie.
I know, but he was also the jerk that was mean about the visual effects stuff.
Okay, well, you have defended him because you.
I have defended him. Yes.
So your 50% defense turned into a 0% defense with The Revenant. And we talked about bears and grunting in the woods. It was, I don't know, if you're into that sort of thing. Chemtrails and Baja Fresh. We didn't watch a movie. It was rambling. Ignore. The Middle of Norway. This is...
Something like a good pun for you.
Yeah, this is, you know, just there are a few red flags that you should watch out for with this one. Because we talk about Ex Machina because we were doing a thing where we were talking about all the VES movies. That's why we had talked about Mad Max and The Martian and Revenant, and we were talking about Ex Machina, which ended up winning the VES Awards. So good for us for covering it and getting it the notification power that it needed, the juice, as they say.
Yeah, I think this might actually have been one of my favorite movie last year. Somebody just asked me that question yesterday, and I couldn't think of a movie I liked better than Ex Machina last year.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
It was good. I mean, it makes you think, too, whether or not you actually agree with what they say in the ending or whatever, but it's a good one to listen to. It's a good thing to think about and watch if you want to have a nice thinking piece and not, like, just something brainless. So, 85, in Patty Cake Delicto, I was horribly ill, and we talked about Roger Rabbit.
Those are accurate statements, I think.
I was pretty delirious. And then we talked about Bad Movie Soup, 86, which was Congo, which was amazing. Absolutely fantastically amazing, because it is an awful film. I don't recommend watching it.
Dreadful, simply dreadful.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't recommend watching it, but it is just fun to riff on if you're just gonna like pull it up with some friends, because it is a mess, and it is a mess that is a nonstop mess. So it's not like boring for like long stretches, because you're just like, what is even happening? What are you filming? What is that? What is the framing on this shot? Are you guys on a soundstage? What's happening? So
and then at the very end of the movie, we found out that the guy that directed it is married to somebody who's in it, right?
I can't remember. Maybe. 87, Hollywood Tortoise. This is where we had guest Adam Lissagore.
Sandy!
On. Yeah, he worked on Torque, which you wanted me to see, and we were talking about it on Twitter, and I was complaining about you making me watch Torque. Because we were doing a thing where I dared you to watch something, and you dared me to watch something. And so...
We have a peculiar relationship on this show.
Yeah, it's... I mean, we make it work. Don't judge. And so Hollywood Tortoise, we talked... Adam Lissagore saw us going back and forth on this, and he goes, oh, well, I worked on it. I would love to be on your podcast thing. And then I was like, oh, my God, what do we do? And you're like, we'll have him on. And I was like, oh, my God, what? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then you talked to him, and then you had him on, and then you did the thing. And we discussed
funny
the
how
movie.
That works.
Yeah. So it's crazy. Who could have seen that coming? And it's like an unpredictable train. And so 88, Old People Problems. This is where we talk about Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan with Todd Vaziri for 3 hours and 10 minutes.
So close to the network record.
Which is quite amazing, really, when you think about it. You would be like, what could possibly be left to say about such an old film from 1982 that you couldn't have possibly even covered anywhere else? And you'd be surprised. because you just get on a roll because we love it so much. All three of us loved it so much. Isn't that right, Dan?
Yeah, I was there too. I defended my position.
Yes. I like that episode, and I do recommend people go listen to it, especially if you like Star Trek, or if you just want to listen to Dan be uncomfortable for 3 hours.
I was not uncomfortable. You guys were more passionate and had a lot more insight than I did, so I enjoyed it and occasionally chimed in.
Uh-huh. And then 89, Why Did the Bread Come in the Mail? This was, of course, an episode that is not about anything, but we talk about your Cuban sandwich.
Yeah, you got angry about my Cuban sandwich again.
Yeah. And then we have number 90, You Can't Look a Gift Pig in the Hat. It takes two to consensus. We talk about Clerks, a classic, which is not as amazing as I remember it being the previous time that I had seen it before this time. And I think it diminishes the more you see it and the older you are. As a human being,
it's not so great for a 2016 audience.
No, 91 Ballpoint Bananas. This is where we talked about Batman, the movie.
Oh yeah, we watched that movie.
And when you say, "Oh joy," they talked about the Tim Burton Batman. Nope, Batman the movie from the 60s. That was that one.
The one where Adam West wore a leotard and somehow manages to make himself look out of shape and flabby, even though he was not.
He was constantly out of breath, and he's carrying the big fake prop bomb, and then doesn't almost throw it on the wood ducks. So,
God,
number 92, Steak, Eggs, and Exposition. Steak and Eggs and Exposition. This is where we talk about Looper, and
Daddy.
Pro
Jock.
You keep saying that, and it's still like I know the reference now, but
Pool Pond, too.
The odds of your Caddyshack references going over my head are just so high. Maybe one day we'll do Caddyshack as an episode. Just
put that steering wheel back where it belongs.
These are, dude, I'm really enjoying it. It's just, this is eating this up. This is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going, Dan. It's gotta be another one.
No, I won't.
Another one? No?
It's fine.
You're done?
Fine. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, we talked about the time travel movie. By Ryan Johnson.
It's acupressure. It's like acupuncture, but it's not.
So, the movie was not as good as I thought it was going to be from the hype that it had been receiving. So, I am not as amazed by the things that he maybe can do as I once maybe was before I had seen this. And so, I think there's just giant plot holes and weird things in that. 93, Wing Commander, speaking of plot holes, this is an insufferable movie, which we, neither of us liked, and we just tore to shreds. And 94, Make Sanford Great Again, this is a lovely film. We both enjoyed it, and we've talked about the wonderful Cornetto Trilogy middle movie.
Mm-hmm. Chunky Monkey. Can't just lure those monkeys into the ice cream.
No, you get to chop up some bodies. So the we talked about the wonderful, wonderful Hot Fuzz, and it's my favorite movie of the Cornetto trilogy, and we discussed that some length in there. This is it's a good one, as they say. And number 95, it's not Big Game Shaped. This is where we talk about
nothing.
Turkish,
as far as I'm aware,
Turkish Pieties. And DreamWorks.
Football shaped pizzas.
Yes. That's where the name came from, the Turkish Pie Day. Because it's got that oblong football shape. Football. And we also talk about
what's your favorite football team?
DreamWorks and their acquisition by Comcast. And so 96, Where You Warcraft. Hashtag Where You Warcraft. Based on an earlier joke from Where You Been in an earlier episode. And this was when we talk about the amazing nothingness that happens in our lives and workflows and just general news and, you know, how you doing kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. One of those evergreen episodes.
And then 97, A Trunk Full of Captain America Juice. This is where we talk about Captain America Civil Avenger Mega War. And we discuss how we feel it ranks the other Marvel films and where we think things will go and whether or not certain parts of the movie are very tedious and weird, and whether or not we liked it as a whole. And spoiler alert, it's not so bad. We mostly like it.
It's fine. It's better than Ultron.
Way better than Ultron. Consensus. Way better than Ultron. 98. Look, I sew lolcats to young eyes. This is where we talk about The Mummy. And I jokingly suggest that we should talk about The Mummy Returns point in the future.
We totally did, right after this. Alan Wrench of Osiris.
Yes, number 99. And we are caught up. And now, after listening to this episode, what do you think, Dan?
It's amazing what brute force can do, because there's simply no external force that was providing any sort of motivation for 100 episodes of this. We did it because it is a passion project. It's something that's near and dear to our hearts. And, we get a little bit of enjoyment out of it.
Yes.
It's about friendship, really. And Cuban bread.
Friendship, Cuban bread, maple syrup, waffles.
Where you been?
Pancakes.
Pancakes. Man, pancakes. I might go have some waffles after this.
How many are left in your frozen waffle?
We got the 72 pack, so I think we're only like halfway through that.
Oh, Dan, that's a lot of carbs. It's your kidney removal week.
Mm-hmm. We might have held off. I mean, we've been holding off on the waffles for a while because it is kidney removal week.
Oh, yeah, you got to be conscious about that during kidney removal week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I do love waffles, though. 100 episodes.
I bought some the other day.
You bought some waffles?
It's a different variety of the gluten-free kind.
Is the chia seed ones again?
No. These are called home style. They are crispy on the outside and a little fluffy on the inside.
Oh, just like your Cuban bread.
Yep.
Are they Cuban waffles?
No, because there is, as far as I know, nothing gluten-free about most of the things that you can get at Cuban restaurants, even if it's just like rice and beans. Somebody probably just leaned over with some flour on it at some point.
What if I use your home style waffles as my bread to make a Cuban sandwich? You said it's crispy on the outside and fluffy on the inside. So you said that was all that was requisite for a Cuban.
I mean, I don't believe I used words quite like that in the description.
We're gonna have to play the tape back.
Okay, so definitely do that, and then get a ham steak, and get some
pork tenderloin. I thought it was
some gherkins and some French's mustard, and better yet, honey mustard. Get some honey mustard.
No,
and then,
no. Are gherkins the sweet ones or just the small ones?
Just the small ones. The sweet ones I think are called bread and butter pickles.
I hate sweet pickles.
Oh, we'll put those on then. And then,
hate sweet pickles more than I hate almost any other type of food.
Put some Miracle Whip on there instead of mayonnaise.
It's tangy.
And then put some slices of green tomato, because why not? It's the South, right? And then
fried green tomatoes?
What?
We do fried green tomatoes?
I've never seen the movie.
No, I mean like on the sandwich.
Seems excessive. your dry pork tenderloin.
For this drawn out metaphor.
Well, I mean, drawn out metaphors are really like a sandwich, Dan.
Oh, do tell. How?
Because they're full of things.
And not necessarily the right things.
No. But you know what's great about drawn out metaphors and sandwiches?
Eventually they end.
Yes. Ta-da! Congratulations on 100. Oh,
congratulations to you as well.
Yes. And we did them all together.
I know. We didn't have any like stand-ins or I don't know what else we would have had. Solo episodes?
Well, I mean, I almost replaced you with a houseplant at one point, but let's not talk about that.
Was it a succulent? Because that would be okay.
Well, yes. It was going to be my Hobbit Jade. It was a very recent development since I only got that recently. All of my other houseplants not survived.
You'll have to spin off another show.
I had the baby toes at one point. Remember those
baby toes?
That's what they're called. They're
oh dear.
Yeah, it's a problematic name. It's like Finistereria or whatever. They're from South Africa. They're these little cylindrical tube things.
So okay, All right.
It's weird. They're weird looking. Yeah. Well, you know, if you're going to get a succulent, the weirder the better, right?
I don't know how to respond to that.
I mean, do you want a normal succulent? Like a cactus, Dan? Like a boring desert cactus?
No, cactus are terrible.
Mm.
So what do you think? We're gonna keep doing this?
Sure, why not?
I mean, we hit 3 digits. Nobody would blame us for shutting it down.
Well, I mean, it worked for Hypercritical.
Yeah, I mean, if we keep going, we naturally got to go till we hit 4 digits, right?
We didn't really pad for 4, though.
Hmm.
No, we don't have the frame padding.
Just, you know, just change a little percent.
4D. Percent 040.
You gotta put the zero in there?
I thought you did.
No, you might.
Maybe?
I don't do that anymore. I use pound signs.
Oh, yeah. Pound, pound, pound. Pound.
Remember when Nuke didn't have that?
No. I only started using it, I think, at 7.
Okay, great story. That was fun. Yeah,
good times.
I think before that, you didn't have pound signs.
Oh, wow. That was amazing. I loved the beginning and the end and the tumult and some tension. It was a good story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's hot in here.
Lock the gates.
What? Are we starting now?
No. Yes.
Now that we're warmed up and we've covered the back catalog, we can talk about it all?
Yeah, so episode 1, the first one.
Oh, dear.
Techno, trailers, and Tarantino, 72 minutes.
Oh, trailers are the best. Yes. Tarantino, we probably have differing opinions on that.
I bet we do.
Would you rather listen to techno, watch a trailer, or watch a Tarantino film whilst eating a Cuban sandwich?
Or is it a real Cuban sandwich or just something somebody's calling a Cuban sandwich?
We're going to be here all night.
The end.
The end.